Now, again, you know, the way I have taught you is that if you see a word used in a book, the first place you should look at would be that same book, right? Remember that? So we might remember that. So we might need to go to 1 Thessalonians 2 to see how did he use it. This is Paul again. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. For being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, 1 Thessalonians 2:8, but also our own souls, toward this our lives, because you were dear unto us. It didn't say our minds, it said our existence. So, Paul refers to soul as the life of man. Man's existence is what Paul refers to as soul. So then, if you then go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, therefore, if he uses the word soul for life in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, then chapter 5 verse 23, and he says your whole spirit, you know, we can say, which is life, and your body. So I can replace the word soul there with life. Let me see how they're following me. Huh? With life. That is, he describes man's life as spiritual. So, he's not saying the soul and the spirit are different. Now, again, it appears that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the focus really was on the spirit and the body. The spirit and the body. Because the soul can also speak about the body, and the soul can also refer to the spirit. Remember? The soul can involve the body, and can also refer to the spirit. So the soul can, in that context, be used for life. That is, your spirit, your whole spirit, which is life, and then your body. So, that's how Paul places it. So the word soul can be used for your person, yourself, your individual, you as an individual, pardon me, and then your life. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 4. I'm just reviewing things we learned the past few weeks. Hebrews 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick. Quick is not like Usain Bolt. The word quick there means alive. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now notice he says, dividing to the asunder. The word dividing to the asunder there, you need to look at how he says it. Let's leave aside soul and spirit. Let's just mention joints and marrow. Joints and marrow. Okay? And then the thoughts and intents. So I believe, I will say this to doctors. Well, you should know. You're physiology, right? Okay. No cardiac today. So I get to the, from the bone, I reach the marrow. Huh? Am I correct? Okay, that's official. Let me ask a doctor. From the bone, I get to the marrow. From the joint, I get to the marrow. From the bone, I get to the marrow. So, can you really separate the joints from the marrow? The bones. They're together. The marrow is in the bone. Fine. I actually knew it. Both from regular study and the Bible. Just to be sure whether your knowledge was in line with the Bible. Okay. So the joints and the marrow. So the marrow is in the joint. What about the intent? The intent is where? In the thoughts. Is that correct? So that means the spirit will be where? The spirit will be where? In the... Is it clear? Is it clear now? Alright, you get it now. So, The spirit is where? In the soul. The spirit is part of the makeup called the soul of man. Is that correct? Come on, is that correct? Dividing the asunder, which is the word we said, to divide, to asunder, is the word penetrate, actually. To penetrate. That's the word. Is the word diknemar, sounding like a Chinese word. D-I-I-K-N-E-O-R. It means to go through, D-I-I-K-N-E-O-M-A-I, to go through. So I go into the soul to find the spirit. Is that clear? I go into my thoughts to know the intent. I go into what? The bone to find out the marrow. So I go to the soul to find out what? The spirit. So, can we say it like this? The word dividing asunder, the word asunder is the word merismos. Merismos means a part of a whole. It uses Hebrews 2:4. Gifts of the Holy Ghost there. Merismos. Merismos means a part of a whole. A part of a whole. To divide a whole thing into bits. A part of a whole. So when you say soul and spirit, that means the spirit is a part of where? The soul. It's a merismos of the soul. That means that we can say it like this. Soul and spirit will be the spirit in the soul. The word of God helps us to see the spirit in the soul. Let me see how you're following this. Come on, let me see how you're following this. The word helps us to see the spirit in the soul. So we can say it like this. Just the same with the intent. And then the marrow. We can say the spirit is the core of the soul of man. The spirit of man is the core of the soul of man. Oh, yeah. The spirit is the core of the soul of man. A friend of mine is late now. He used to define the word spirit in a way I've never seen anyone define it. He taught a series years back, we had a combo teaching. And I can never forget the way he explained the meaning of spirit. He said the word spirit is from that which issues forth. The word spirit is from that which issues forth animating force. Excellent explanation. From that which issues forth animating force. So that is the spirit. Because when there's no spirit, there can't be a body alive. So he says, the spirit is from that which issues forth animating force. Excellent, excellent thinking. So it's clear to us now that the spirit is the soul. If that's clear to you, let me see your hand. Is it clear enough now? All right. So the soul is not outside the spirit. Rather, the spirit is where? In the soul. It's a part of the soul of man. Is that correct? Very good. So, we looked at the word heart of man, which is where we have cardia. The concept of heart of man means man inside. I told you many times, the word heart is never used in the scriptures for the physical pumping organ that pumps up blood. Or, that kind of stuff, So, when we say heart in the scripture, we're not referring to, now I say the heart and then someone says, I love you with the whole of my heart. Then they draw the cubic shape of love. My heart. That I don't think the physical heart has a cubic shape. Squatter goes like this. Does he have it? Well, it's a bit close. Then he has some left ventricle, the right, Then you have a pulmonary. Is that from it? Is it pulmonary? Arteries, Some biology, can't forget. I'm a lawyer, it's been a while. So sometimes I'm allowed to give some heresy in biology. And God isn't angry. So the concept of the heart will mean inside life. Whenever you see the word heart, always explain it. Do not think it must have one definition. The word heart can refer to mind. It can be the spirit. It can also talk about soul of man. So it really depends on what he said. For instance, if you say heart, in some context, you have what heart is used for, spirit. Look at Ezekiel 36 verse 26. It's a prophecy from Ezekiel about the church, new creation, what we call the new birth. Ezekiel 36 and 26. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. A new heart is called a new spirit that I put within you, and I'll take away the stone out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you. So he calls his spirit heart. Heart. In Romans 2:29. You listening? Are you listening? Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart in the spirit. So the word heart there is interchanged for the word spirit. 1 Peter 3. Let it be, verse 4. The Eden man of the heart. The man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great pride. The word heart there again is used for spirit. Are you there? Are you there? So, but you have a place where the word heart's used for the mind. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, in the Pauline prayers. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The eyes of your understanding there is the eyes of your heart. What there is cardia. Now, he can't give spirit to your spirit. Hallelujah. I've explained that to you, the prayer to you. I think I explained the prayer to you last week. Did I? Okay. Did I? Okay. So, he's saying the eyes of your heart. Now, heart there will not mean spirit, because he has already told you. Okay, we'll see this. Go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 will be where we get this clearly. Chapter 3 verse 15 or from 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you. Now, be very slow in reading this prayer. You know, last week I told you that when Paul was praying, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, I told you that that word is what? Spiritual wisdom, which is what? Revelation. What is pneumaticos? Off. Spirit off. That is, we can put up here the pneumatic of the Spirit's wisdom. He will grant you of Spirit's wisdom, which is what? Revelation. Remember that last week? Remember that? Remember that. Okay. So, he's not going to give you a spirit. He's granting you wisdom in your spirit. Is that clear? Is that very clear? Okay. If you didn't, I mean, she didn't come around last week. She come to. Praise the Lord. Alright, look at this. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Look at the word might and the word strengthened. The word strengthened has to do with power, where you have dunamis. And the word might is the word kraton. The same words he used earlier in chapter 1 verse 19. Notice how he used those words in chapter 1 verse 19. The exceeding greatness of his power towards what that believe. According to the working of what? His mighty power. So he's saying to you that there is the power of God, the exceeding greatness of his power, which is for us that believe. So every believer has the exceeding greatness of the power. Is that clear? If I just need to read again, in chapter 3, verse 20, and says, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or think, according to the power that is at work where. You know, the interesting part is that we don't, the way people quote, this is just, by the way, this is a free of charge, a freebie for this service. Do you know, there are some people say, well, God is going to do more than what we ask. So which prayer, which scripture do you have that for? Jesus, in fact, said, you don't have because you have not asked. He said, well, God is going to do more than what we ask. That's not what he meant. Always read things in context. God will not do more than what you ask. Amen. If you ask for a wife, he won't give you two. I think. Is that correct? If you ask for a husband, oh, thank you. He will give you two. He's saying to you, when Paul prayed that prayer, he's saying the answer to that prayer is in you. That what he has prayed for, God is able to do the same word, hyperbolon. Hyperbolon, Ephesians 1:19. Exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask. What did he ask? What are we asking? That we be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's what he's asking. What else is he asking? Ephesians 3. Verse 15, 16. To grant you to be strengthened. 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you've been rooted and grounded in love. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Better still, the surpassing knowledge of the love of Christ. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now honor him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you ask. Now what are we asking? Exactly from verse 16 to verse 19. Let me see how that's clear to you. So he's saying there is resident in the believer, superbalon. Just like chapter 1, verse 19. There is enough strength in the believer, listen now, to get this prayer answered. So both the prayer of chapter 1 and the prayer of chapter 3 are answered with the Spirit of God in the believer. They are not answered from heaven. Strength is not going to come from heaven. And don't forget the strength we're going to refer to here. Pay attention now. There's power to supply this prayer that is resident in the believer. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So, how is he going to strengthen? He will strengthen with might by his spirit. So the question here is, which spirit? Notice the word his spirit. So we're going to look through the book of Ephesians to understand what spirit he's here talking about. The very first mention of the spirit is in chapter 1 verse 3. Which funnily has been used for every other thing but what he said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Also, the theology have come out of that. Spiritual blessings. I'll say, the blessings are in the spirit realm. You have to bring them to manifest in the natural. Interesting. So how did God do it? He coded it. So you go find the password. No, the word there, spiritual, is of the spirit. Pneumatikos. That is, the blessings are where? They are of the spirit. In other words, God did all that for us in the spirit. He gave us his spirit. The gift of his spirit, alright, is now being outlined from verse 4 to verse 5, 6 to verse 7, to verse 8 to verse 9. That is, he's talking about things in the spirit of the believer, or things that belong to the spirit of the believer. We're going to see that now. In verse 13, Ephesians chapter 1, he says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Same. Sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 17, or verse 17, it says, wisdom of the Spirit. Remember that? Remember that. Wisdom of the Spirit. In chapter 2, verse 18, for through him we both have access by what? One spirit unto the Father. We both have access by one spirit. What's he saying? He's saying we all have the same spirit. One spirit. So, of the spirit, chapter 1, verse 3. Sealed with the spirit, verse 13, chapter 1. Wisdom of the spirit, verse 17, chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 18. One spirit. Pay attention to that. Just mark that word, one spirit. Then chapter 22, look at this. 21 says, in whom all the buildings fitly framed together, growing up into an open temple in the Lord. Let's take verse 22 together, Ephesians chapter 2, let's go. In whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through what? The Spirit. So, you see that? The Spirit of promise. The Spirit. Is that Spirit His Spirit? Yes. Now go on. In chapter 4, let me back up a bit. I wrote in my notes, back up a bit. I do my notes like I'm conversing with people. Sometimes my notes, I write, see this. And I'm not talking to you. So he says, what did I just say? And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, watch this, verse 2. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. So that was where we came from. So what happened in the new creation is that we have his spirit, not this spirit here. So his spirit. Now go on now. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 says, in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Let's take verse 4 together. There's one body. One Spirit, even as you are called to one body. So, one Spirit. Only one Spirit. I want one Spirit, the same thing. Same Spirit. Same Spirit. So, when we say the Spirit, the blessings of the Spirit, Ephesians 1, 3, same. 13, Spirit of promise, same. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:17. Wisdom of the Spirit, same. Ephesians 2:18. We have access by one Spirit, same. Okay? Ephesians 3:15-16. Strengthened with might by His Spirit, same. Hallelujah. Are we following that? 3:16. Same Spirit. 4:5. Or verse 4. One Spirit. Are you there? Are you there? Look at 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. I know you know better than think the Holy Spirit is talking about God. The Holy Spirit of God all the time. The Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God. Same Spirit. Chapter 5. Now follow, this is interesting. Chapter 5 verse 18 now says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That's clear enough. But be filled with the Spirit. Same Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs is songs of the Spirit. And making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Same thing. Be filled with the Spirit. Is that still the Spirit, the Spirit of promise? The one Spirit? The Spirit of Ephesians 3:16. Okay. We form a habitation for God through the Spirit. Same Spirit. Is that the same Spirit? Okay. Is that the same Spirit of Ephesians 4:4 and 5? Alright, good. So, he's saying, be filled with the Spirit. Then, chapter 6, verse, the whole armor of God. Now, remove the verses so this is going to make some more sense. Verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. I've heard someone say, well, the whole armor of God, did you observe? Wasn't it a meeting like that? Did you know that the whole armor of God only covers your front? Now, do you know why I left your back? I don't know why. He said, because, so that you be humble. So that, and I was looking at, and people are saying, you know, we Pentecostals, charismatics have a way of just flowing. We believe. You're not going to laugh that you just have to go to school. So now when people wear armors, it goes all over them. I don't know any belt that stays here. Oh, shoot. That's a sleeper. Sometimes you have to be stupid to believe some revelation that people say. You need to first be stupid, then believe. Now, everybody knows that the armor of a soldier, it wraps up his entire body. Even the helmet is not exactly like this. I think it has a back part to it. And that was how they prayed that day. But then we have to pray. Our back is open. Jesus be the fence. Okay, so you try to remove the verses so this is going to make sense. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, where we're able to withstand all the fury of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Go on. Don't stop. Let's start again. And the sword of the Spirit. Take it again. Let's start again. And hold on. I don't want you to pause. Read through to verse 18. So let's go. Start again. You didn't get that. Let's go. One more. Go, come on, go. One more time. So what is the sword of the Spirit? The word of God praying. Hallelujah. Let's take it one more time. It's not a rhema. It's all there, all that. Let's go. Once again, come on. Hallelujah. You get that? The word of God, praying, is the sword of the Spirit. Praying always, with all supplication, and then he repeats himself, emphasis, in the Spirit, which is praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. So the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying. So, pay attention now. What strength is, go back to that prayer, Ephesians 3, 15, 16. To be strengthened with His Spirit, or by His Spirit, in the inner man. So, my spirit, which is the Spirit of God, strengthens my inner man. So, who strengthens my inner man? My spirit, because my spirit is already blessed with wisdom. My spirit is already blessed with knowledge. My spirit is already blessed with power, exceeding greatness of power. Is that clear? So, my spirit strengthens the inner man. How does he do it? He does it by knowledge. Because he uses the word epignosis and gnosis. Epignosis and gnosis. But we'll take epignosis. He uses the word epignosis. Knowledge. Which is precise knowledge. Now, precise knowledge of what? So, my spirit strengthened my inner man, which already shows you is my comprehension. Okay? My comprehension is intended there. My comprehension, my understanding. How does it strengthen my understanding? It strengthens my understanding with knowledge. Now, knowledge of what? Knowledge of itself. Don't lose this now. This is key. Knowledge of itself. Why? Because all blessings are where? In the Spirit. Ephesians 1:3. Spiritual blessings. So what the Bible says in the heavenly places, that means you've not been coming to church regularly. So you should go to the heavenly places first. It's in the heavenly in Christ. Praise God. Who run yours? Remember that? In Christ. So all the blessings of power are already where? In Christ. Wisdom is already where? In Christ. So in Christ refers to in my spirit. Is that correct? So my spirit begins to supply insight to my understanding. My spirit begins to supply insight to my understanding. That means from the moment of salvation, I don't get any extra thing from God again. I'll take that again. From the point of salvation, I don't get any extra thing from God. When I say from God, I mean outside God in me. That's somehow. It's okay, it's fine. That's clearer, right? Yep. I don't get an extra thing. You know what I say? So when I say things like, Lord, do this, he says, according to the power that is at work in you. What makes things happen is in the spirit of the man who is born again. His spirit already has it. That's why it's called of God. It's called the Holy Spirit of promise. The Spirit of God. His Spirit. The same Spirit. So, all that is required is in the Spirit of the man that is born again. So, when you have the word spiritual, it means from the Spirit. Just like Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. So, all the abilities that I explained, you don't lose this now, are already in the Spirit. So, what happens? At salvation, all that God will ever give you, He give to your spirit. So, it's the Spirit of God. All. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You don't get more. More love. More power. You know, sometimes you know, this song will sing, you make my life so, I want more of you. I want more. Sing the song because I like it. It's a good song. It's scriptural. So don't get. The more I know you, exactly. That's what he's saying. The more I know. Now, the I you're referring to is not the Spirit of God in Christ. No. The I you're referring to there is what Paul calls here the inner man, which he refers to as your understanding. That's the one that needs to know. Now, we're going to do a quick word study here. We still have a long way to go. Are you following this? Let's look at how Paul taught the Spirit. Paul's Spirit. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life, where? In Christ. The Spirit of life in Christ has made me free, or set me free, from the law of sin and death. So the Spirit of life is where? In Christ. In verse 4. We walk not after the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. So, now which Spirit now? Life where? I do not know. So it's not talking about anyone. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit do mind the things of where? The Spirit. Which Spirit now? The Spirit of life which is in Christ. Look at verse 9. You are not where? But where are you? Say, I am in the Spirit. Okay, go on. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, what is the Spirit of God here? The Spirit of life which is where? In Christ. Are you following this? Now, if any man have not what? So, is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of life, in Christ? That's referred to as the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ. Okay? Then, verse 14. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and the Spirit is what? The Spirit is what? Come on, the Spirit is what? Life, because of righteousness. So he, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that what? So is his spirit the spirit? Huh? And the spirit of Christ. Talk to me. Is that the spirit of life in Christ? Okay, good. So, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are same spirit? Same spirit? 15. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of what? Adoption, which is the spirit of sons, euthesia, the spirit of sons. So is the spirit of Christ the spirit of sons? Talk to me. Is that the spirit of life in Christ? Okay, good. Same way, Ephesians 4:4. Sorry, Galatians 4:4. Four, five. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So is the spirit of the son the spirit of God? Huh? How many are sons here? Okay, sorry, daughters. Listen, how many are sons? Raise your hand. You got the spirit of a son. Raise your hand. Are you a son? So keep your hand raised like this. Is the spirit of the son the spirit of God? Is the spirit of a son your spirit? Is your spirit the spirit of God? Put your hands down. God bless you. All right. Your spirit is of God. So in Romans 8, verse 29... Romans 8 verse 29. He says, for whom we predestinate, for whom we did predestinate. He also did, he also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Very simple English. That means the firstborn, which is the one that shows us what the others have. Firstborn means he shows us what the others have. Not that there's a secondborn, a thirdborn, fourthborn, fifthborn, sixthborn, seventhborn. What will you be? Who will be the secondborn? Peter. Then what born will you be? So far from the inheritance. Firstborn simply means that what you find in him, you find every other person. That's what it means. So, now what is he saying? The word is somerful in the Greek, like, similar to, same word in Philippians 3:21. Somerful, similar to Philippians 3:21. It's not a process. It's a once and for all manufacture, which shall change our vile bodies, that it might be fashioned. That's the word somerful. That it might be fashioned. The word somerful means just like. So we're just like the Son. Hallelujah. We're just like the Son. That is, our spirit is just like that of the Son. Praise the Lord. Our spirit is just like that of the Son. So in Romans 8:11, it says the same spirit that raised up. Mark that. Romans 8:11. If the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. So he's saying the spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the one that dwells in you. When he says in you, what are you referring to? Dwells in you. Where? In your mortal bodies. In your bodies. In your physical bodies. So, he's saying to us that the Spirit of God, he's the same thing here in this context, has the Spirit of the believer. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 19. I think I explained this one in Paul's identification. Right? Okay, first. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In your spirit, which is of God, which is God's. So, your spirit there is called the Spirit of God because it came from God, not that it's God. In chapter 14, verse 2, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understand him, howbeit where? Where? In the spirit. He speaks mysteries. In verse 14 he says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit. So the spirit there is what? Come on. My spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Look at 15 together. Let's take 15 together. What is it then? I'll pray with what? So the spirit is my spirit. Okay? Let me see how you got that. Huh? The spirit is what? My spirit. The spirit referred to there is my spirit. I'll pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the understanding also. So, in the new creation, the spirit of the man who is born again is of God. It's complete. It's perfect. It doesn't get better over time. It's just like God. It's not God, but it's just like God. It's got the spirit. It's called the spirit of God because it's born of God. Jesus said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. So look at this. In John, now go back to that Ezekiel 36, the one we read earlier. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. Notice what he says. He says, I will take away the stony out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit. Hallelujah. So that new heart is whose? His spirit. So that means his spirit is our spirit. Hallelujah. Let me see how you understand that. My spirit. Just like in Joel 2:28. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So his spirit is my spirit. Say his spirit is my spirit. Say my spirit is his spirit. Excellent. His spirit is my spirit. And my spirit is his spirit. And the word heart is used for the spiritual nature of a man. So my spiritual makeup in Christ, he's the spirit of God. Because I'm born of God. Same way your children share your DNA. DNA doesn't increase. DNA doesn't get better. You know, DNA say, well, when he was born, I will check the DNA. This was the father. As he grew older, this became the father. Is that ever possible? So, your spirit at the new birth doesn't change. Hallelujah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. The Spirit of God is that DNA we have. That's the life that we have. The life in the Spirit. Now, look at this. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said that much. He said, John 14, 16, and I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another comforter. Comforter. That's who you are to me. Comforter. This is comforter. Remember a lady, she told me years back, she said, she, Christian sister, she was now dating an unbeliever. An unbeliever. I don't know how that gets into your mind. What were you thinking? An old friend of mine, she came to me one time, she was almost in tears. Sandra, what's the problem? She said, can you believe an unbeliever was toasting me today? I said, well, I believe because you said it. She said, I've lost the glory of God. What did he see? And I kind of felt some believers today, that's a testimony. Mrs. in top demand in the faculty. You should be ashamed of yourself. Is that the glory of God in your life? They're putting your picture on all the boards, faculty. Cutest. Prettiest.
They are so worldly. His fine face. That's why you've not been able to do evangelism.
The lady.
Yeah, my stories.
She said, I said, why are you doing this? You're fervent for the Lord.
Said, I need a comforter in the flesh.
You know, there's sometimes as a pastor, you feel like throwing the person on the roof. In Jesus' name.
Are you crazy?
Okay, now. So, you know, the word comforter here is the word paraclete, which means a helper, something done to supply strength. The word another, people say, is another like Jesus. Well, you may be right or wrong. But the word there is alos, the same. That is the same spirit as Jesus. Jesus is saying to you that what I will become in the resurrection is what you will become. That's what he's saying. The same spirit. He's referring to his resurrection, what I become, because the paraclete here, he is the same person. You will become the same thing. So in John 16 verse 12, he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, we cannot bear them now. John 16, 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you to all of the truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. So he's saying to you that the Spirit of truth that you will receive at the new birth will show you. Show who? He will explain things. He will take the things of mine and then he will show it unto you. What's he talking about? 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now do not rush now. Let's take it gradually and slowly. Without rushing too much, this is no conquered speed. But God will reveal, as revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So his Spirit there is the Spirit, remember? Searches all things, the deep things of God. It's the word huranoi, I'll spell it for you. E-R-U-U-N-A-O. It means to examine or to bring out. You see it in Romans 8:27. 1 Peter 1:11. He says, this Spirit is in God. Now look at this. He said, the Spirit searches all the things of God. Look at 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Pay attention. He's saying, who can search the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, are you there? Are you there? The Spirit of God knows no man, the things of God, but the Spirit of God. Now say this, say the Spirit of God knows the things of God. Say the Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. Now say one more time. The Spirit of God knows the things of God. So don't move away from that truth when we read the next verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Hold on. Verse 11. The spirit of God knows the things of God. So we have received the spirit that knows the things of God. Is that correct? Okay. So when it says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So what part of us is knowing there? Thank you. Good guy. You get that. Amen. Because the Spirit which is of God, what? Knows the things of God. It already knows the things of God. So we're given this Spirit that we might know which is where we have a, remember the word, to perceive, to recall, to remember, which is a function of where? The mind. That's a function of the mind, to recall. The power of recall. So in other words, with the Spirit of God in us, which is the Spirit of the Son, is given so that our minds can comprehend what? The things of God. So it is your spirit, I'm coming to that, that trains you. It is the spirit that trains the mind. The spirit is in God. It can only utter the things of God. So the Spirit of God, just like Jesus said in John 16, will communicate the things of God to the mind, to our understanding, where we have our will, our emotions, our affections. So pay attention. So, the instructor of the mind, in the soul of man, we have the Spirit and the mind. The instructor of the mind is the Spirit. So let's quickly discuss one important aspect. What then is the reason for the written word? Why do I have a Bible? The Bible is the instructor's manual for man's mind. The Bible is the instructor's manual for man's mind. In 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, if I speak in tongues, my mind is barren, unfruitful. The word unfruitful is the same word used for when you sow seeds and it doesn't bring forth fruit. So it's used for seeds. And he says the seed is the word of God in Luke 8. So, the epistles therefore, pay attention now, are the mirror, is a mirror. It's a mirror of the mind. The mind sees the Spirit. In James 1:22, he says, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, is likened unto a man, who beholds his natural face, don't forget that, his natural face in the mirror. And said away, go at his way, what happens? Forgets the manner of man. In other words, what happens is this. As he looks at the written word, his spirit is pointing out things to him. But you see, if he doesn't recall, he forgets. He acts exactly opposite of what he has seen. What he has seen can never change. Because what he has seen is his natural face. Are you following this? So the written word is the mirror, the epistles. So when you read the epistles, it is the spirit, your spirit, speaking to your mind. When you have the word walk in, walk in love, stay away from, that is not an instruction for the Spirit of God. That's an instruction for the mind. And who is giving that instruction? Pay attention. How did Paul pen those things down? Paul penned those things down by the same spirit that is in you. Paul penned those things down. He wrote those things down by the same spirit that is in you today. So we can say, the spirit in you today wrote those things down, however, through Paul. So your spirit is giving instructions to your mind. When he says in Ephesians 5:1, he says, be imitators of God as their children. Now, you're already born of God. You have the new man, which is after God, in light of the true holiness, Ephesians 4:24. So, be imitators of God is asking your mind to follow your spirit. So, he says, the mind says, what is in my spirit? Righteousness and true holiness. What is in my spirit? Love is there. Oh, so walk in the Spirit. The Spirit is what now? The Spirit of the Son. So who walks in the Spirit? My mind walks where? In the Spirit. My mind is being instructed to walk in His Spirit. My Spirit. Let me see how they're following this. Is that very clear? So who he's given the instruction, not a third party. The Spirit of God in me, who is the Spirit of the Son, is given those instructions. It becomes an instruction manual. Paul wrote by the same Spirit which is of God. Look at how the mind functions. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, I had not seen, nor hear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. So the mind functions by receiving information through sight and hearing. That's how the mind functions. And that's why the Spirit will use the written word. Are you listening? Are you listening? That's how the mind functions. Things enter the mind by seeing and by what? Hearing. What? Just like Jesus in Luke 10. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10, verse 23. Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, have not seen them, to hear those things which you hear, have not heard them. That is how man hears. The physical eyes and ears are the gates to the heart. They are the gates to your heart. Is that correct? If you go to school, that's the way you communicate, things that communicate to you. It's either by what you see or by what you hear. That's how things enter your mind. Am I correct? Am I correct? Am I correct? That's how the mind functions. So, the written word is a tool for the eyes and the ears. The Spirit does not function that way. Because it says, the Spirit knows. Hallelujah. Are you listening? The Spirit already what? Knows. But the mind will have to what? See and hear. So the Spirit knows the things that are already of God. So as I'm speaking right now, I am not speaking to your spirit. Because your spirit knows the things that are of God. Rather, your spirit is taking advantage of this sermon, this teaching, to school your mind. Because you are hearing me through what? Your mind. So your mind functions by what it sees and what it what? Hears. Look at how Paul puts it. Ephesians 3. You learning something? You learning something? Say, my spirit, which is of God, knows the things that are of God. Hallelujah. Look at Ephesians 3. Verse 2. If you have heard of this vision of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, what? How that by revelation, it made known unto me what? The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Let's take verse 4 together. Whereby, when you what? Read, you may. My knowledge. And so, how do you read? How does your mind function? By reading. That is your mind. Not your spirit. Your spirit already what? Knows. Hallelujah. Your spirit functions independent of how your eyes see or what your ears hear. But your mind cannot. So that's why he said, I didn't see it, hear it, hear it, mind didn't conceive it. But God gave us his spirit so that now eyes can see it, then what? Ears can hear it, and then the mind can conceive it. Do you understand that? How would the eyes see? You read it. How the ears hear? Come to church. Hallelujah. You hear God's word. Amen. So the spirit knows the things that are of God. Hallelujah. So, the door to the heart of man will be the physical eyes and the physical ears. Is that correct? Now, look at something. Look at Acts 17. Acts 17. In Berea. This is Berea. Do not forget. It says, if our gospel we heed, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded what? The minds. Because the mind of man is the door to his spirit. The mind of man.
at salvation.
He has to think. He has to accept what you're saying. He has to say, okay, what are you talking about? Oh, is that true? The door to his heart. Well, yeah. He has to hear it. He has to see what you're saying. Look at this. Acts 17. He says there were those in Thessalonica. They were more noble than those Thessalonica. In that they received the word with readiness of what? Mind. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Notice what they did. They searched the scriptures. They read through it. They saw it. The mind functions that way. He has to see. Look at Romans, Acts 8. The Enoch. The Enoch said, he's reading the book. And then, verse 30, Philip ran either to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understand thou what you read. How can I, except some man shall guide me? So he's reading. You understand by reading. You must see it and you must hear it. But the Spirit knows the things that are of God. So understanding is a function of what you see and what you hear. And that's how the mind walks. So the Spirit knows the things that are of God. So three ways. He says, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither has it entered. Let's take that one. Entered. So I hear it, I see it. To enter there will mean to meditate. To meditate. The mind will walk by meditation. It has received information. Then it begins to what we call process it. It begins to meditate. Look at two places. Mark 4:24. Take heed. Look at this, Mark 4:24. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. With the measure. The Amplified gives us a better thought about it. Say the measure of thoughts that you give to what you hear. It's what comes back, just like academics. You read, and then you think about what you have read. You have to think about it. It's a measure of thought. So it's not what you hear that eventually becomes your understanding. It's what you think upon. It's what you think upon. Just like it's not what you eat, it's what you digest. It's what you think upon. So the mind functions with meditation. In 1 Timothy 4:15, Paul says, meditate upon these things, give yourself, 1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly unto them, that your profiting may appear. The word meditate is the word meletao, M-E-L-E-T-A-O. I'm going to explain the meaning to you now, because it's very key. Meletao is from the word melete. M-E-L-E-T-E. It means to care about something. How many of you know what you care about? You know what you care about. What you care about is what you think about. See, I care for you. I couldn't sleep yesterday just thinking about you. Guess you're watching a movie. Yeah. What you care about is what you're thinking about. Is that clear? What are you thinking about? You call someone's number and he says, who is this? He says, eh? Say, oh, sorry. Then he tells you something like, I changed my phone. Well, if you change your phone, you will quickly get the numbers of those you care about. Am I right? You don't tell your boss at work, who is this? So I changed my phone. So? You don't say, what happened? Huh? So? You get that. Because you quickly change. You put, oh man, when you change your phone, you get your number quickly. You know some numbers offhand. 080, even though you know the scriptures, you know the scriptures well. I don't remember verses like that, but you know 80, 444, 666, you know that one very well. Google the numbers. So the guy that called you, say, I've changed my phones, the guy that you don't think about too often, you don't call too often. Right? Is that not true? Well, have I said a word of knowledge or something? Or am I feeling guilty? So, if you care about something, you think about it. So, Melit is something you care about. You care about. So, Melitah would mean to care about the word. The word Melitah, meditate, is used two times in New Testament Greek. It means to plan. To plan with, to devise. To plan with. Just like if you're going somewhere with your wife, you say, the place is to be 10 o'clock, just say 8. 8 o'clock. But you know, someone attacked me last week, and I accepted the blame. He now sent me a small cartoon, and I submitted it because we were having a joke. He said, he showed two places, the man is like this, and then the dad, then the kids. The dad says, we're going out by 10. So he goes into the bathroom alone. It's looking good. It's out. But the woman goes to the kids. And then the son runs like this. Come back, come on, come on, have your bath. She does all that. And then after a while, she's taking it up. You say, why have you not finished? Well, let's switch roles. What a way to escape. So I accept that. Anyway, you're going out and you know that your wife does makeup. Almost a length of time to grow spiritually. So you plan with it. So you look at the wristwatch. 8 o'clock. Because you're planning with something. With an idea. It's just like environmental sanitation. They tell you 7 to 10. You know you don't. You ask, is there environmental today? They said yes. Oh! Or sometimes they say, amen! You know, it depends on what you wanted to do. You don't say, you don't put your wedding. 8 o'clock. Or else, your first action together, husband and wife, will be to cut grass. You have to plan. You have to think about it. Right? 7 days. So it will be in your consciousness. That's why you will stay at home. That's why you will not go out. That's why you will not be taking tongue stroll around the Jota. You know, because it's in your mind, you are planning with it. So meditation means to plan with the word. Hallelujah. To plan with the word. To devise things with the word. It's used for architects. An architect comes, he wants to build a house for you. Or he wants to give you a design. He says, this is what you're going to do. Why? That this is steep. You need this kind of foundation. He's planning with something. So that means as you're building your life, you plan around the word. Meditation. Around the word. You care about it. Meditation is how the mind works. The same word used in Acts 4:25. Acts 4:25. Who by the mouth of the servant David had said, why do the youth rage and the people imagine vain things? The word imagine. Imagine. Is the word meditate, melitao, imagine. Your imaginations are to be used for the written word. The written word. So, what is the written word now? What is it for? Let me show you. This Bible is for imagination. You look at it. Then it says, flee fornication. Immediately, you see yourself run. Right? Stay away. Don't pick the call. Don't go there. What's happening? Your spirit is what? Training your mind. Your spirit knows the things of God. So it points it to you immediately. How many find that when you're hearing God's word like this, pictures come to you? Where are those pictures coming from? Your spirit is using the written word to tell your mind what to do. Hallelujah. So the spirit of the man that's born again, he knows. So he's saying, meditate now. Think about this. Think about this. Think about this. Ah, I don't take nonsense for nonsense. I don't take nonsense for nonsense. He says, you're a new man in Christ. She said, you mean a whole me. Reje. So if something has come to your mind, that means Reje, I won't slap. You have seen yourself not slap. I won't slap. No. So if you're going to do the word, that thought now becomes your response. If you won't do the word, you'll forget the manner of man that you saw. Let me see if you understand that. So your spirit knows the things that are of God. So your spirit uses the written word to put images on your mind. Are you listening? Because words form images. If I say right now, and I say, please, go outside and help me peek my phone from my car. The word phone is P-H-O-N-E, but that's not what is on your mind. An object appears immediately. If I mention a name, oh, immediately. So an image comes. So words are to what? Paint images. Are you listening? So when he's here, you are of God. You have overcome him. Words. It paints an image to you. Your spirit, through the written word, paints images on your mind. It's repainting how you think. So your imaginations ought to be used for the written word. Quickly, let's see this. That's why you will find words in scripture. You'll find two words used for the new creation. You'll find the word children, where you'll find technon. Technon is descendant. You'll find hoios used for sons. Same word, descendant. It means someone who is from another, who depends on the other. That's children, technon. For instance, 1 John 3:1, he says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the technon of God, children of God. Romans 8:17-16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children, that means we are descendants. Then you have the word hoios. There's no distinction. Hoios just means you resemble him, you are just like him. It's also used for inheritance. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the hoios of God. Romans 8:15. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of sons, hoios. You see, Paul uses hoios and techno interchangeably for the same thing. It's not a level of growth. In fact, go to Galatians 3:26. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, guys. Are you there? Are you there? Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That word there is hoios. You are all sons. Talking about male and female. So your spirit is God's child. Your spirit is God's son. Is that clear? Is that very clear? So it's of God. But another word appears is the word nepios. N-E-P-I-O-U-S. Is used for undeveloped infants. Let's run through the use of that word, nepios. In Matthew 11:25, nepios. Matthew 11:25. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes, the undeveloped, nepios. Matthew 21:16. How the mouth of babes and sucklings you have perfected praise. Luke 16:21, same as Matthew 11:25. Then you see Romans 2:20. Romans 2:20. Nepios. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, undeveloped. Look at the word foolish, those who are not discerning. Babes. 1 Corinthians 3:1. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes, nepios, babes. So when you see nepios, it's better to put the word babes. That is not your spirit. Hallelujah. Because your spirit already knows. Let me see how you're following what I'm saying. That's not your, when you are babes, that is not your spirit, because your spirit already knows the things that are of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. So where do we find this nepios? 1 Corinthians 13 verse 11. Are you there? Are you there? Come on, are you there? If you're there, say amen. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I understood. I thought. So nepios is used for your thinking, understanding, your will, your emotions. That's where you are unlearned. That's where you are untaught. That's where you can be called immature. Same thing in Galatians 4, 1 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. Hebrews 5:13. I'll take that again. Galatians 4, 1 and 3. 1 Thessalonians 2:7. And Hebrews 5:13. So you are a nepios. There can only be a nepios in the way you think. That's why he said, and you walk as mere men. So the difference between two believers, when one is doing fine and one is not in their capacities, it's in their perception and reception. Their capacities are the same. No believer has more ability than the other, because our spirit is the same. But where we differ is in our understanding. That's where you have children and the mature. Now the opposite of children, nepios, is not sons. The opposite is mature or spiritual. Do you get that? Spiritual. Spiritual in their thinking. I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Galatians 6:1. If any of you overtaken in the fault, that spiritual should restore such ones. Spiritual. Who are spiritually minded. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, Paul says, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, is the word padion. Another word, padion. Undeveloped. Padion. P-A-I-D-O-N. Little one. So in your understanding and your thinking is where you have a child, a nepios. Ephesians 4:14. Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, nepios, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but like of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Carried about in your understanding. So, it's in the understanding of spiritual things that we have babes and mature Christians. But every Christian who is a babe has every capacity in him to be mature. It's undeveloped. Because his mind is not responding to his spirit. His mind has taken the crown of his life. His logic is Lord. But if he starts to respond to his spirit from the written word, he begins to grow spiritually. So you can grow mentally. You can be academically sound, rich. You can be a Christian for many years and you are a babe in your thinking. You are a babe in how you see spiritual things. You are a babe, a nepios, undeveloped, a padion. I'll close here. A padion in how you think and how you reason. So in your spirit, you are of God and you are his son. In your mind, you are either mature or immature. Your spirit does not age. He doesn't get to a point, he uses walking stick and say, hallelujah.
You know, I've been like Christian for some time.
That's long, like Methuselah. No. Your spirit is just the same. Hallelujah. But your mind goes through the process in Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind. By the renewing of your mind. What renews your mind? That what renew the mind, Romans 12:2, is the word anakinosis. Anakinosis means to develop to a higher use, to a higher state. Same word in 2 Corinthians 4:16. And Colossians 3:10. Our inward man is renewed day by day. Colossians 3:10. Our inward man is renewed in knowledge. So the word inward man there is our understanding and our thinking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So your spirit mentors your mind. I put it like this. I said, your spirit is to foster, father, and nurture your mind. Your spirit now wants to culture your thinking. See things differently. What you hear, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said, behold. Who will behold your thinking? Your mind has to see it. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. See it. In our spirit we're sons of God. But is our thinking like that? So it's in your thinking that you are either a child or you're mature. In your spirit, you're a son. You are of God. Nothing changes. It doesn't age, it doesn't grow, it doesn't develop. But your mind is where development takes place. And your mind is not just your thinking, don't forget. It's also your emotions, your feelings, your decisions. That's where you know whether you are developing or not. How do you think? How do you decide things? How do you respond to things? How do you make your choices? So is in those things you're either a child or you are mature. In Colossians 1, I said the opposite of the nepios is to be perfect. Perfect means mature. Colossians 1. You learning something here? You learning something here? Whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man, Colossians 1:20, in all wisdom, that we will present every man what? Perfect in Christ. The word teleon, it means to be mature. To be mature. Matured. Anyone do? When you were younger, you grew up. You go, daddy, I want this. As you start growing up, maybe you are now 6 or 5 or 4. Kekule, get that for me. You know, you can't say that to a baby who's crying. You grow up. You should not do that. Don't do that. Why? Because you now should what? Mature. So maturity will be to allow your spirit dominate your mind. Your spirit dominates your emotions. Your spirit dominates your decisions. Your spirit dominates your actions and reactions. All happening where? In the soul of man. Praise God. You've been blessed in this series. Amen. We'll continue sometimes next year or year after. Amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Give Him praise. Thank you. Give God praise. Bless him, man. We give you praise after.